Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. I'm Brian Kat, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic underscore pick. The Miami Dolphins play the Buffalo Bills this weekend in week two of the regular season at Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins are coming off a 21-11 loss against the Patriots. The Bills, a very convincing 27-17 win over the Jets. It wasn't as close as it once looked. We're joined by Nick Wotan, a contributor here from USA Today's The Bills Wire. Follow him at Nick underscore Wotan and at The Bills Wire Podcast. And they're also coming out as well with a podcast for the Buffalo Bills called The Bills Wire as well. Nick, thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, anytime. Love joining you guys.
So let's take a look here at the Bills and what they did last week. I mean, you know, a lot of people thought that Buffalo would kind of have that hangover after that loss to the Texans in the playoff game last year. Not the case. They get off to a 21-0 lead against the Jets, lean on them for the rest of the game. So, you know, they in a season like this where, you know, you've got the pandemic and, you know, you return quarterback Josh Allen off our head coach Sean McDermott, offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. So attitude has to be pretty high for Buffalo heading into week two.
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's the continuity in Buffalo was probably, knowing the Bills, knowing Sean McDermott, knowing he's one of those guys who likes to tout, you know, the process, the culture, and this and that, and that really actually rung pretty loudly in this pandemic offseason. The Bills had, I believe it was ESPN, or at least one of the outlets I saw, in terms of stacking up teams in the entire NFL, their continuity across the board, who had the most returning players in the entire league. Considering the pandemic, the Bills, they had the most continuity between their entire roster. And then I think they broke it down between offense and defense. And the offense in particular was number one in the NFL in terms of snaps returning from last season. And that's really paid dividends, it looked like, against the New York Jets. I mean, their biggest thing up in New York, you know, I don't like to you guys look at Sam Darnold too, of course. I don't like to close the door completely on him, even 3 years in, because, I mean, man, that the lack of help that guy's gotten has been brutal. But speaking of which, he's not on the same page with his new receivers yet. His offensive line, four of the five guys are new starters there, so you almost feel bad for him going up against the top three defense with four or five new starters in the offensive line, because the Bills were just no team pressured a quarterback more in the league in week one than the Bills. 27-17, it was the only big play of the day for the Jets was Tremaine Edmonds. We'll probably get to this, I'm sure, the injury that he suffered. He was hurt trying to tackle Jameson Crowder, and then he went 69 yards for a touchdown. Other than that, the Jets were just stuck in the mud all day, and between two missed field goals from a rookie and one errant pass by Josh Allen, this really could have been 40 plus some to 17 or less in this one. It really wasn't even close, to your point, Brian.
Yeah, it's, you know, they, like I said, they leaned on him for the rest of the game. And yeah, you had the big touchdown by Jameson Crowder where he broke a tackle and went the distance. But other than that, the Bills certainly controlled that game. So Stephon Diggs, 8 catches for 86 yards in the contest against the Jets. And that was kind of what I expected too, because, I mean, this is not somebody who's going to catch, you know, 90 passes for, you know, 1,500 yards. But it's pretty consistent with what the Bills can probably expect throughout the rest of the year. You know, if he's somebody that catches 90 to 100 balls for 1,100 to 1,200 yards, that's probably what the Bills are looking for.
Yeah, no, exactly. Nail on the head right there. A lot of folks were expecting Stephon Diggs. Really, taking the almost the low hanging fruit on this one. You know, you got Josh Allen. His touted attribute, of course, is his arm strength. And I think the biggest knock on him, in combination with that, is his lack of accuracy with the long arm. So the thought was, okay, we're going to get Stephon Diggs. He's one of those guys. He's only 6 foot tall in terms of, you know, you think of the big bodied go up and get it kind of receiver. He's only 6 foot, but he goes up and he gets the ball, and that's one of the best traits. But instead, what we really got from Stephon Diggs was his route trues really on display week one. He went into some dirty areas to get some catches, took a couple bumps. He was never missed any snaps or anything like that. Got up slow maybe once, took a knock, hung onto the ball. Caught 8 of 9 targets, like you said there. That 86 yards he had led the Bills in receiving on the day, so the Buffalo is certainly not going to be mad about that. But on top of that, what Diggs is probably not going to be mad about is he had 8 catches in the game. Last year and his entire final season with the Vikings, he did not surpass 7 catches in a game all year. So, of course, he's been kind of hush about why he didn't, you know, work out in Minnesota or what was going on there. We really don't know. But that's a good start for him, right? I mean, he had more catches in his debut with his new team than his entire last season in any game with his old team. So I think everyone on both sides between Diggs and the Bills was happy with that one.
Yeah, and on the other side, they've got John Brown. I mean, this is somebody that with Arizona back in 2015 with Carson Palmer had 1,000 yards, and he was Baltimore's leading receiver in, I believe, 2017. Then he comes to the Bills last year, has 1,000-plus yards, and now this year. This is one of the most underrated wide receivers in the league, and they also signed Cole Beasley to play the slot last offseason, and they drafted Dawson Knox out of the University of Mississippi. So it seems to me, Nick, that when you look at this Bills offense, they, in terms of their personnel, they keep it pretty simple, but they have a very good offensive line. They have Josh Allen, who's played well here over the last year and a half, and they're spreading those options out pretty wide to take advantage of those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, no, exactly. The Bills actually last year they didn't do 4 wide receivers really at all last year. It was kind of just unheard of for them, because beyond, you mentioned those top 3, Cole Beasley, they didn't really have anyone that they could trust. And then, you know, if John Brown goes down, it was kind of a mishmash of who the heck's going to go out there and catch passes. Of course, that, by comparison, was a heck of a lot better than 2018, when it was like Zay Jones running around out there, and I think he's still with the Raiders right now. That's kind of where the Bills' playmaking options were in 2018, and Kelvin Benjamin, too. But now, against the Jets in the season openers, what I was getting to is, and I'm really interested to see where the Bills attack the Dolphins, considering they're highly improved, highly invested in secondary, because the Bills, on half of their offensive snaps, ran 4 wide receiver sets. And you think with Buffalo, the running heavy team they've been over the last how long? I mean, Josh Allen, 300 yards for the first time passing in a game in regulation for a Bills quarterback since 2014. And I mean, come on, this is the NFL in 2020. It's been a long time since they've had a 300-yard regulation passer. And yeah, they had 4 wide receivers out there for half of their offensive snaps. Their fourth guy is Gabriel Davis, a guy from down in UCF, I believe. So some folks down there might have heard of him. And the Bills really spread him out, and that was honestly, it was almost the first time, like I said, in a long time that the Bills have looked like a modern-day offense with Josh Allen setting a career high in, you know, yards, completions with 33, and his completion percentage, I think, was around 71, 72. So a modern-day offense in Buffalo. I can't believe I just said it myself.
Yeah, and Gabe Davis is a name to watch for everybody, because he played 43 snaps with the Bills last week, even though he didn't catch more than a couple of passes. Somebody to certainly keep an eye out for. He's probably somebody the Bills are looking to slip into the game plan. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, it seems like a common theme in the AFC East, other than the Jets, is, you know, the Dolphins stacked up at defensive back. The Patriots are stacked up at defensive back. The Bills are as well. The Bills have some established players here. Cornerback Tre'Davious White, as well as safeties Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. So how do you see the Bills being able to control this game, and what do you think they have to do on the defensive side of the ball?
The number one thing, chatting early in the week here, the number one thing the Bills have to do to contain the Dolphins is get healthy, because as I kind of preface there before, the injuries the Bills have right now, they're very deep all around the roster, but the injuries they have are at their weakest position in terms of depth, and that's both Matt Milano, who I think is one of the most underrated linebackers in the league, maybe one of the best in coverage. He went down with a hamstring injury. Tremaine Edmonds went down. He had a shoulder injury. There's kind of a little post-game peek in there. They show the locker room, when the team wins, Brian Flores, they'll show him pumping up the guys, hey, yeah, we just won. They showed that with the Bills and Sean McDermott, and Tremaine Edmonds was behind him and didn't have any sling on or anything, so his shoulder seems okay at least. So if the Bills at least have one of those guys, it's going to be really big for them because I don't know how they're going to defend this Miami backfield. So really, the secondary might have to step up, come inside, cover your tight ends, cover your running backs, cover everyone, because I know that the Dolphins have been hit by some opt-outs with their wide receiver room. I read that they kind of didn't get the greatest separation there for our old friend Ryan Fitzpatrick last week against the Patriots. So the secondary, the best way for them to top the Dolphins is the secondary really has to step up and kind of maybe, come out of their comfort zones. And I know you got Mike Gesicki there, new look backfield. So I think we might see some cornerbacks and maybe safeties come down to help up those guys. Because, Bills had Terrell Dodson, a former UDFA from last year, come in for Tremaine Edmonds. AJ Klein, veteran, but kind of looked like he was no Matt Milano out there. So that's going to be the most interesting thing throughout the week for the Bills' perspective, is getting those starting linebackers out there.
Yeah, I saw that Edmonds and Milano were a little bit iffy for this week, and we're recording this on Tuesday, so don't hold it against Nick if we get to Thursday when we post this, and it's not quite the same. So, but on the defensive side of the ball too, one player that a lot of Dolphins fans were angry that we didn't take early in the second round was AJ Epenesa, and he was not active for last week for the Bills. Do you have any insight on as to why?
It was pretty peculiar. So it was what the Bills, how they kind of explained it. I'm still kind of considering it almost a worrisome type thing, because Epenesa was a guy that some thought that he was going to be a first rounder, which is, probably why Miami fans wanted him. That's why Bills fans were happy to have him, because they got him in the second round after kind of a so-so combine, I think it was, that kind of caused him to drop. But instead of starting him, the Bills do have some solid depth on the defensive line. And I get there was no preseason, but they kind of pretty much said that, hey, we are going to play second year pro and former seventh round pick Daryl Johnson Jr. over AJ Epenesa. The Bills do have, again, that depth there at defensive end. Jerry Hughes, longest tenured Bill, you guys know him well. Then we added Mario Addison, and Trent Murphy has been there himself, but Addison and Murphy both had sacks last week. So those top three guys had a good game. But, if you're going to just rotate, get Daryl Johnson a couple snaps here or there, why couldn't Epenesa do that? Because during training camp, they were touting him, like, hey, he played inside, he played outside. They try to make their guys versatile on the defensive line and all over the place. There's also Quentin Jefferson to consider. I know he's another – the former Seahawk is kind of a guy that can hop all over the defensive line. So I don't know. The insight is that I get that they want to, just put him in there slowly, but how slow do you want? He's their top pick, and I personally don't think it was a good look to make the guy inactive on opening day. If you're going to give he's a second-round pick, you can't trust him with a couple snaps here or there. The Bills do have the depth there at minimum.
Yeah, Daryl Johnson was a seventh-round pick last year out of North Carolina A&T, 6'6", 253 pounds, so kind of fits that same size profile as Epenesa. I'm too a little surprised that he didn't get some active and some looks there at the defensive tackle spot. But then again, the Bills are good enough on the defensive side of the ball anyway. Last year, they were second overall in total yards allowed, third overall in points allowed. So, really, there's somebody that when you take it from year to year, and you return the same defensive coordinator in Leslie Frazier, a defense that certainly plays well from a week-to-week basis. So, Nick, what do you think the Bills have to do to win this game?
I think the one thing that they really have to do, underlying factor here, we started off the conversation, Brian, with Josh Allen, and deservedly so. He had a good game, but two things. They have to avoid turnovers. I mean, the one thing that's getting a little, I guess, annoying is the word, a little thorn in the side type situation with Allen. Two lost fumbles. I mean, come on, man. You know, they kind of, again, you know, not to criticize the coaching staff, even though I'm pretty good at doing it sometimes, I think. Maybe too good for my own well-being. But, you know, they said, oh, Allen didn't take, you know, we didn't have a full offseason. He didn't have his full go of it, which is kind of ironic to say since the quarterbacks wear nothing but a red jersey all throughout the summer and never get hit. So I don't know what they're talking about there. But, yeah, okay, Allen didn't have a full offseason. But, man, if you're going to run the ball and you're going to do this read option on the ground, you gotta hang on to the ball. He had two lost fumbles against the Jets. Last season, he basically started 15 games. Week 17, they had nothing to gain, nothing to lose. In the postseason, Matt Barkley played 95% of the game. So in 15 quote-unquote games that he played, he had 14 fumbles last year. So he's on pace already for a fumble per game in his last 16, which is not great. But the Bills, more importantly, I'm very curious to see how this Dolphins secondary comes into the picture against the Bills. Really, a lot of good playmakers on both sides of the ball there when those two units are out. Because the Bills have to establish the run game. I mentioned Josh Allen. He's had a thing for leading the Bills in rushing. He did again last week, 57 yards, 14 carries. Devin Singletary, their third-round pick, Zach Moss, they got him with Devin Singletary. Singletary, you know, promising rookie season. He only had 30 rushing yards. Both of our, you know, former all-time great running backs that both the Bills and Dolphins have had over the last few years, Frank Gore. You know, everyone blamed him last year. He's too old. He can't, you know, he can't get it done anymore. Well, Zach Moss was supposed to be the new Frank Gore, and he had 9 carries and 11 yards. So that's not going to cut it. And I'm definitely more worried Josh Allen leaning on his arm against this Dolphins secondary than I was against the Jets, because, I mean, let's be frank, the Jets are the Jets right now, and that's a tire fire that we're all loving on both sides of this podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And one thing about the Jets, too, is for as bad as they are, one thing they've been good at since the beginning of last year was run defense. One of the best in the league. So it doesn't surprise me that Zach Moss had, 9 carries for 11 yards and Devin Singletary had 9 carries for something. Overall, I think they combined for 8 carries for about 40 yards. Doesn't surprise me all that much, because all they can do is control things in the gap. But Josh Allen's a weird situation there, because you said he had, 14 fumbles in the last 14 games, but he only has 3 interceptions in the last 14 games, too.
Yeah. See, that's, I kind of wrote, you know, shameless plug here at BillsWire.com. I actually just wrote this morning. Maybe we have some reason for optimism here with Josh Allen and getting this fumble situation checked out, because as a rookie, you know, as they go with rookie quarterbacks, interceptions are typically a problem. It was a problem in his rookie year. He had 12 interceptions as a rookie, but last year he only had 9 total. 7 of those, I believe, came in his first 5 games of the year. He had 2 interceptions thrown against the Patriots week 5, I believe, last year. Just wrote this that, you know, something at that point just clicked in his head that said, I got to stop throwing the dang ball to the other team. And I'm hoping that, I think the way I worded it was, I hope he goes down that same well before going down to Miami or going down to South Beach, because he's really got to figure out how to hang on to this fumbling problem. But to his credit, he did figure out the interception thing at least. So maybe we have some precedent there that he can figure out how to fix things.
Yeah, and he's an interesting quarterback, because he's kind of hard to figure out. I mean, he has great athleticism. He's somebody that in the last 14 games as well has over 500 rushing yards. But he also has a low completion percentage, so 59% completion percentage over the last 14 games as well. 19 passing touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But, you know, you get to a game like last game against the Jets and the Bills are up 21-0, and he has 2 passes, one that was almost picked off when the Bills were up 21-10, and another one where he just airmailed it to Josh Brown. He had 2 fumbles. He's a hard guy to figure out, because he's an unbelievable talent. But overall, at the end of the day, I do think that the pros outweigh the cons, at least right now, for Josh Allen.
For right now, yeah, I'll give it to him. He's still, you know, it's such a weird thing, you know, it's like a love-hate relationship with this fifth-year option, because the Bills are going to head into this offseason and have to decide if they're going to pick up that fifth-year tab on Allen. And, you know, I think Jermaine Edmonds, you know, he's their other first round pick from 2018. I think he's basically already got his locked up. So it's coming around the corner that where the Bills are eventually going to have to take a look at, do we tab Josh Allen here? And it's like, you know, we're only one game in the 2020 season, but that third year for quarterback for every position, but quarterbacks is so pivotal where it's like, it makes you nervous with this guy sometimes. But I think certainly I think a much better, more pros, like you said, to keeping Allen around, letting him develop more, because he always was kind of dubbed this long-term type of, you know, prospect. No one thought he's going to come in the league and light it on fire. But really, other than Lamar Jackson, none of these, as you guys know, none of these 2018 quarterbacks have ascended to superstar level yet. But, you know, at least Josh Rosen is, you know, he's with Tampa now, right? He's still in Florida?
Yeah, he's with Tampa, unfortunately. That did not work out well. And Rosen was taken three picks after Josh Allen in the 2018 draft. You know, from my point of view, when I look at Josh Allen, I think what the Bills see is what they're going to get, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, if the Bills can win this game and go to 2-0, next game they play at home against the Rams, and then the following week they play against the Raiders in Las Vegas. You may be talking about a 3-1, 4-0 start, and that becomes a different type of situation. So that's why this game for both teams is very interesting, because the Dolphins, if they fall to 0-2, the season starts spiraling out of control, where if the Bills go to 2-0, things start to really look up as far as the rest of the season, especially in the AFC East, where things are finally up for grabs with Tom Brady out of the division. So what is your prediction, Nick, for this game?
I think I'm going to go with the Bills on this one. And to your point, I think it's going to be a huge step if the Bills can take the W in this one. Later on in the year, the Bills schedule, again, you know, Rams, Raiders, and I think they have the Titans after that. Those are some winnable games early. Later on in the year, the Bills, you know, they play the AFC West. They got the NFC West, you know, divisional setups going. Those are some tough quarterbacks, a lot tougher defenses and the lining up against them. So the Bills have to get these early season wins. And you know, at the talk of the podcast, talk of the interview here has been Josh Allen, and regardless of his inconsistencies, regardless of his up and down play, his brief NFL career thus far, he's kind of really brought it against the Dolphins. Let's see, the Dolphins have been his divisional team that he's looked at, you know, straight in the eye over the line of scrimmage, and just, you know, really handed it to them. I think it was against the Dolphins, the Charles Clay, you know, a couple of years ago now, 2018, that heave at the end of the game that he probably should have caught. That was kind of ugly.
Yeah, that was our only win. So don't take that one from us here. Other than that, the Bills are Josh Allen is 3-1 against the Dolphins, with the only loss being that Charles Clay drop.
But he even played good that game. I thought Allen played pretty. Is the inconsistent rookie that he was even more so than he is now. He's just had good games against the Dolphins, and hey, we're not complaining up here in Western New York about that. So
yeah, I mean, I'll even go a step further. Over four games, the last four games of Josh Allen's career against the Dolphins, and the only four that he's played, he's got a 61% completion percentage, 913 passing yards, but more importantly, 318 rushing yards in four games against the Dolphins. So
yeah,
you're talking about overall 13 touchdowns and three interceptions against them. And more importantly for the Bills, 32.8 points per game and a 3-1 record. So he's certainly, and that's what I don't get here in Miami, is why a lot of Dolphins fans think Josh Allen is some sort of inferior quarterback. I don't get it. Like, I understand other teams thinking that. I understand other people thinking that, but not Dolphins fans, because this guy has torn up the Dolphins over the last 2 years.
Yeah. Like you said, I don't know what it is. He loves playing Miami. He must love the, I don't know, he must hate your helmets or something, and he wants you to go back to the old logo. He hates the color turquoise. Something he hates about Dolphins that he just brings his A game, and, you know, we love to see that. And it's almost been like the flip. It always seemed like every time I tuned in, you know, I'm going back to memory lane here, but, you know, I'd see a couple of good Ryan Tannehill games here and there, but he just always seemed to bring us worse football against the Bills for some reason. I don't know. It's been like just these weird quarterback dilemmas between these two teams. Thankfully, I've been in the Bills half, you know, not to say, you know, I think the Bills, again, to your initial question here, we're going down the quarterback wormhole, of course, as football always goes. But, you know, I think the Bills will handle their business in this one. But, the quarterback play has certainly been a factor between these two AFC's rivals, over the past couple years here.
So, Nick, you've got the Bills winning this game. To put you on the spot, if you had to put a score to it, what do you think the score is going to be?
I'll give, you know, the Jets did get some points that I didn't see them getting, so I'm not going to say that the Bills are going to post a shutout or anything. Again, I'm a little nervous about this Miami secondary, but, you know, maybe 28-14 area, something there. Maybe the Bills surpass 30 in this one just because, like I said, Josh Allen, he hates you guys. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah, he sure does. I'm going to go with 30-21 for the Bills. For the reasons you said there, I mean, Josh Allen's had a lot of success against the Dolphins, and on the Dolphins' offensive side of the ball, Ryan Fitzpatrick has, you know, he's coming off a 3-interception game. Not all those interceptions were his fault, and you guys know Ryan Fitzpatrick too. He's got to throw the ball for grabs a lot, and I think that doesn't quite work against the secondary. I mean, the Dolphins in Buffalo had the game pretty well in hand late in the third quarter. But then they had some turnovers. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw a pick to Tre'Davious White, and Tre'Davious White also had a strip there of Preston Williams that made the difference in the game. And then the Bills won convincingly in Miami later in the year. So I'm going to go 30-21 Buffalo Bills in this game. That's going to do it for our breakdown of the Bills-Dolphins matchup here. We're joined by Nick Wotan from the USA Today. You can follow him, Nick_Wotan. That's WOJTON. And you can follow his podcast as well. Be sure to go on any social media outlet there and download that podcast for the Bills Wire as well. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side. Solo D, take us home.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the Fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fifth. Listen, Dolphins fans across the land all tuning in to see what Brian Cat and Paul about to do again.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.